when Soraya told me that this was kind of a family emphasis week, I had just addressed our own ladies last August about something and that immediately came to mind. And so I thought, well, maybe that would be the best thing to talk to you about as well. Now, it is a topic for women that has the potential to rankle your flesh. And being as our goal today is to learn about and be encouraged to have godly families, sometimes we have to face things in the Word of God that you know, our flesh is not real comfortable with. So are you ready? I want to talk to you about submission. Okay. Now, we are going to talk about it mostly in the context of wives being submitted to husbands, but I think that there could be some applications here for all of us in some of our other relationships in life. So I did want those of you who are not married to be able to profit from this. So, you know, everybody in life is submitted to somebody, I think, unless you're a absolute monarch or dictator, and everybody has to do what you say, you're submitted to somebody. Children to parents, and students to teachers, employees to employers, citizens to government, and so on. So as we go along, those of you who are not married, try to make some applications, just understanding what submission is. And I might not think to say something, you know, for you specifically, but make the applications in your own mind. And for those of you who would like to be married someday, which, you know, if you're a young woman and you would like to be married, guess what? God made you that way. That's not a bad thing to want to be married someday. As long as you're willing for the Lord to say, I want you to serve me single. So maybe I can say some things today that will help you down the line somewhere. I'm probably not going to say anything that you who are married don't already know and aren't already trying to practice. But if you're like me, I just need the scripture to keep washing through my mind and reminding me and showing me where I need to be more conformed to Christ's image. So if you would please turn your Bibles to the book of 1 Peter. We have two letters from the Apostle Peter. And as you probably are aware, he was writing to believers who were living in very difficult circumstances. At that time, in those places, he was writing to people who were away from Jerusalem, out in the provinces of Rome, and persecution and false teachers were just a common thing in their lives. That's what they had to deal with on a daily basis, and that's in addition to just the weakness of their flesh and the temptations of the world and Satan. So Peter's burden is to teach and exhort and encourage them on how to think and live in this world as believers. That's where we are, right? And so he has a lot in his letters addressed to us as believers on how to get along with each other. Because in the midst of, you know, stress and difficulty, what happens to us? What does our flesh tend to do? We tend to maybe sometimes lash out at the people that are closest to us. So he wants us to learn how to get along with each other as families and as believers. All right, so we're going to talk, like I said, specifically about husbands and wives. So we're going to start with chapter 3 and verse 1. And if you are a wife or hope to be a wife someday, this is a chapter that I recommend you memorize. And keep it in your heart so that whenever you need it, it's right there, and God, the Holy Spirit, can bring it to your mind. All right, it begins, "In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands." All right, we're going to stop right there and make some comments. This chapter, or this section of this letter, is talking about submission. of wives to husbands. And it says, in the same way as what? All right. Well, if I'm not going to have you turn back there, I'm just going to mention this to you, that previously in this letter, he's already addressed us as citizens of a country. He says, if you have a king or governors, that we're to be submitted to them. He's already addressed servants, which the parallel in our society would be employees and employers, employees to be submitted to their employers or authorities. In this chapter, he's talking about family and later on about in the local church. So these are some areas that he's talking about already, submission to an authority. And so he's saying, in the same way that I'm instructing you to be submitted to the government or be submitted to your master, be wives, be submitted to your husbands. And he's addressing all wives, addressed to the church. He's talking to you as believing women, be submissive to your own husband. Submission is is an assigned role by God. It's not an evaluation of worth or superiority. It doesn't have anything to do in God's sight of one of you being worth more than the other or superior. Men have qualities and women have qualities, but it's not a matter of superiority. It's just a role that's been assigned by God. The word in this text is a compound word, the word submissive. And it's made up of two words. If you've ever been to a wedding at Mount Calvary, you've heard the definition of this word. And I won't put our previous Mount Calvary members on the spot by asking you if you remember what it means, but you probably do. Would you like to volunteer?
Arrange yourself under.
She got it. Okay, it's two words, arrange, under. It can mean to be put in subjection to someone, but in this case, it's talking about submitting yourself. So this is a voluntary thing. He's saying, arrange yourself under. It's not up to the husband to see that you are submitted. It's not something he is supposed to demand of you. It's something that you are to voluntarily do because that is what God, how God has assigned your role. In all of those passages in Peter, the emphasis is not on the authority, it's on the person in submission. All the instruction is to those of us who are in submission to someone else. Submission of wives is grounded in theology, not culture. And you're probably very aware that in our culture today, a wife being in submission is a very demeaning and, what can I say, it's not a popular thing, and it's even been taken out of wedding vows. Girls, if someday the Lord provides a husband for you, the godly thing to do, the thing that God would want you to do is vow, covenant before the Lord that you will be submissive to your husband. That's what he would want you to do. And the reason that God has made it that way is expressed in Ephesians 5, if you're not familiar with that passage, where he's telling the wife to be submissive to her husband in order to display something. What does he want marriage to display? What's the spiritual image that he wants marriage to display? Do you know? Yes, Christ and the church. Remember, the church is Christ's bride. So somehow in our marriages, we're supposed to display that image of how the church is supposed to be submitted to Christ. Can you imagine justifying anything that the Church of Christ could do and not be in submission to him? Is there any area where the church doesn't need to be submitted to Christ? Well, the Bible says, wives, to be submitted to your own husbands in everything so that we can display that image. And this is not the only passage where wives are told to be submissive. Ephesians 5 that I just referenced, wives are to be subject to their own husbands as to the Lord, and that's a really important phrase. Ephesians 5:22, wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. A lot of the things that I'm sharing with you today are just the things that have helped me to understand my role. And to understand that little phrase, as to the Lord, it helped me to think about it this way. It's not saying, be submitted to him like I am to God. Why? Well, because my husband isn't perfect like God is perfect. It would be kind of impossible to be submitted to him like I am to God. But because God wants me to be submissive to him, I can do it as my ministry to the Lord. So when I think about my role as a wife, that is my ministry to the Lord. I'm submitted to my husband. I am his helper. All those things that the Bible instructs us as wives, I'm doing them as my ministry for the Lord. Just like your husband has some role in the body of Christ. Maybe he's a church elder or deacon, or he has an evangelism ministry or a pastor. And that's his ministry for the Lord. When he stands before the Lord and the Lord says, well done, one of the things he'll be talking about is how he has done well his ministry. When I stand before the Lord, I want the Lord to say, you have done your ministry of a wife very well. I'm pleased. That's my ministry for the Lord. And then also, in Colossians 3:18, wives, be subject to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. It's talking about that's what fits a godly woman, to be in submission to her husband. And then a very important verse in Titus 2:5, being subject to their own husbands so that the word of God will not be dishonored. When we do something that is contrary to what the scripture says, then his word is discredited. And what kind of testimony is that to other believers or even to the unsaved world? So even though the unsaved world is saying, you know, women, rise up and be your own person and do your own thing, and you know, you're not inferior to men. No, we're not. But in our role, we're supposed to be submitted to them so that God's word will be, we will be showing forth that God's word is true. We're going to put God's word above what the world thinks. And then we have this passage in 1 Peter 3. Come on in. No problem. Come on in. All right, so what is your motive then as a wife to be submissive to your husband, and what is it not? The motive is, it's your ministry to the Lord and as an illustration of Christ and his church. Some things to think about that it is not, and you might be surprised at some of these things. This is out of Schreiner's commentary on 1 Peter. Wives, do not submit in order to satisfy a husband's vanity or to promote his reputation. Now, it's not a bad thing to promote his reputation. Proverbs 31 says that your husband is to be known in the gates. But that's not the reason to be submissive to him, just so he can have satisfy his vanity or to promote him. Submission is not so that wives can show how godly they are, nor to avoid conflict with your husband. You're not just submissive just so, you know, to keep the peace. Nor to impress the neighbors. Nor to manipulate their husbands. You know, sometimes we can act like we're being submissive just by being quiet, and, you know, kind of ducking our head. But on the inside, we are not being submissive. That's manipulation. And not even because she thinks that he is wise. She submits because of her relationship and trust in God. And I hope that can become clear as we go through this. So in summary, what is submission? In every God-assigned role of submission, it means to voluntarily arrange ourselves under the person or persons to whom we are subject. And the reason we do it is out of our love for and our obedience to God. Now, the passage goes on. In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word. So we need to talk about the if. All right. The fact that it says, and this is where I don't think your ESV uses the word even, but that word means that sometimes there are husbands that aren't disobedient to the word. So if that is the case, here's some counsel from the Lord. Now, originally, probably, the commentators are pretty much agreed that this passage was written to women who did not have saved husbands. You have to remember, this is the first generation of Christians, and the gospel is being preached throughout Asia. And some of these women, and some men too, I'm sure, were saved under the preaching of the gospel, but their spouses weren't. So how are they supposed to live in this situation? But if you think about it, there are two categories of husbands. There are husbands who are believers, and there are husbands who are not believers. An unsaved husband, he's always disobedient to the word because he hasn't obeyed the gospel of Christ. So you could have an unsaved husband, and he is disobedient to the word. But you can also have a believing husband, and sometimes he can be disobedient to the word, right? Are you ever disobedient to the word? You're made of the same stuff. So your husband can be disobedient to the word sometimes because he's not glorified yet. So regardless, saved or unsaved, what are we supposed to do as wives when our husband is doing something that is not in keeping with God's words? The instruction here applies to all wives. And for you girls who are not married, there are applications here for whoever you're in submission to. All right, here's the instructions. You wives, be submissive to your own husbands so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives. I talked to my husband about this some time ago just to clarify some things in my own mind. And he said the guiding principle of submission, whether it's as a servant or an employee, or a wife, or a child, is that when authority will not listen to the word of God, the one in submission must be quiet and live a good testimony. It's not prohibiting the person in submission from ministering the word of God to that person. It doesn't mean that you can't draw their attention very respectfully to something that the Bible says. It's not prohibiting appealing to reason. But when those efforts are rejected and they can't see or won't see what you're talking about, if it's creating tension in your relationship, then God's counsel is, ladies, to stop talking and just live what you believe. Now that takes a lot of faith. Right? You know what faith is? Faith is walking off a cliff and expecting God to catch you. All right. Could be dangerous, but if you will do what God says, he will keep his promises. All right. Now, I do need to qualify one thing. When a husband is committing criminal acts against his wife, this passage is not requiring that a wife put herself or her children in the way of harm. We could go on and just have a whole lesson about that, but my goal this morning is to talk to us who have husbands and just in the every day-to-day process of life, reminding of us how to conduct ourselves so that we can be pleasing to the Lord. But this passage is not giving a wife who's in that very difficult situation license to respond to her husband in an unchristlike manner, but to maintain a blameless testimony before him in every possible way. All right, so when your husband is disobeying God's word to him, let's talk about your words. He can be won without a word from you. The Bible in the book of Proverbs has a lot to say about a contentious wife. I didn't realize how many times it talks about it. There are actually 5 different passages. Now, the book of Proverbs is the book of what? What's one word that characterizes the book of Proverbs? Wisdom. Okay? So if you want to be wise, here's some things to think about. For a man to live with a contentious woman is like a continual dripping. Now, I don't know if this is fact or if it is just what I heard growing up, but growing up, I always heard about this thing called Chinese torture. I don't know if this is really what they used to do, but it was being tied down and having a drop of water hit your forehead just periodically, bing, 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 and it would actually drive people crazy. Some of you heard of that, okay. All right, wives, if that's what you do with your words, that's like putting your husband through Chinese torture. It's a continual dropping on a very rainy day. Bad, bad. The Book of Wisdom says it's better to dwell in the corner of the housetop. Now, don't envision a slanted roof and he's clinging, you know, trying to slide off the edge of the roof and fall down. No, their houses were flat on the top, and you actually could go on the top of the house. You could sleep up there. Peter went up there to pray, and that's when he received that sheet from heaven with a message from the Lord. So it's just saying that to live with a contentious woman is so bad, it would be better for him just to go live on the roof. You can't live in the same house with her. It says it's better for him to dwell in the wilderness or a desert where there's not much water, that's more tolerable than living with a contentious woman. To try to restrain a contentious wife is like trying to restrain the wind or grasp oil in your hand. It's impossible. So if a husband's going to have a wife that's not contentious, who's going to have to be responsible for that? He can't do anything about it. Only we can do something about it. Well, Peter has more to say about this later on in the chapter, if you look down at verse 8, and he's just talking to everybody now. He's saying to sum up for all of you who are in relationships of submission, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you are called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. For the one who desires life, to love and see good days, is that you? Must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Do you want to see good days in your marriage? Well, there's something you must do. You must keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Your husband will be better won back to a right relationship with the Lord without a word from you. So instead of words, what? They may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives, in verse 2, as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. All husbands are affected by the behavior of their wives, right? If you're cheerful and happy and loving, that affects him. If you're down and cranky and impatient, that affects him. So no matter what we do, it affects our behavior, affects our husbands. So what kind of behavior would be helpful for us as wives? excuse me. You don't need to turn there, but in the first chapter of 1 Peter, he's talking to all of us as believers, and he says, as just like obedient children, picture that in your mind, obedient children, we as Christians do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. So the behavior that would help her husband is that she would be holy in all her behavior. Well, how can she be holy in her behavior? This passage says two ways to do that would be to be chaste and respectful. Chaste is just means pure in every respect. Pure thoughts, pure actions, pure motives, to be holy, to be godlike, to be godly in all her behavior. And the word respectful is very interesting because it actually means in fear. Now, yes, you should have a respect. You should be afraid to speak disrespectfully to your husband. But I think primarily this means in fear of God. To do this in fear of God. It's your behavior toward God. We need to understand what fear of the Lord is talking about. And the best way for me to understand it is fear of the Lord is not what makes me want to run away from God. It's not what makes me want to run away from God. We think of fear as get away from whatever's causing the fear. No. Fear of the Lord is not what makes me want to run away from him, but fear that makes me afraid to run away from him because he's the only safe place to be. So, wives, if you will behave yourselves in a very chaste and respectful way, that is what will do your husband good. And that's a very big demand. And so I just want to get through this last phrase here in verse 3 to really help us how to flesh that out. He goes on and he says, your adornment. So this we're talking about what the husband is observing in the wife. He's observing your chaste and respectful behavior. And then he says, let your adornment. Your adornment is what you see, right? He's saying, let your adornment, it must not be merely external. The word merely, which I don't think is in your ESV, suggests that there is some need for external adorning. It's not saying, you know, don't adorn yourself. And I could have a whole lesson about that. I think as wives, you need to give attention to your outward adorning. But he's saying, let your primary adornment be the hidden person of the heart, and only the people who are close to you can see that. Let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in God's sight. That's what God is pleased with. This is not talking about personality, girls. This is talking about something that all of us, no matter what our personality is, can do. Gentle just means a humble spirit, a meekness. Humility is a big part of submission. And the quiet spirit is talking about an undisturbed spirit, a spirit without anxiety. So the way that this verse really helps me is to think about when my husband is doing something, thinking something, you know, that is frightening to me, I'm supposed to stay in submission to him, let him be my head, stay in submission to him, and trust the Lord. Just be quiet before the Lord. The Lord can handle it. The Lord is in control, even of my husband. So when something comes up that creates anxiety or hurt, just stay obey God, stay in submission, stay in your role, and trust the Lord with a humility and a quietness and a meekness that lets God know you're trusting Him and He will care for you. He goes on to give the illustration from women in the past. For in this way, in former times, the holy women also, who hoped in God, used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their husbands. That's what they did. And Sarah is an example. She called her husband Lord, just meaning she was calling him Mister. Did you know, do you girls know, you younger girls, do you know what the abbreviation MR, Mister, stands for? My daughters didn't know, and I was surprised. It stands for Master. It's the word for master. And he says, you have become Sarah's children if you do what is right without being frightened by any fear. What is right? Being submissive to your husband. And don't be afraid. Why not be afraid? Because God is in control. God wants you to do it. And then we already referenced the verse 8. To sum up, all of you, be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit. Apply all those things. Not returning evil for evil, insult for insult, but giving a blessing. Think about Proverbs 31. She's to do him good and not evil all the days of her life. And then here's a really, really precious promise. Starting in verse 10, the one who desires life, we already referenced this once, but I want to go through to the conclusion. To love and see good days must keep his tongue from evil, his lips from speaking deceit. He must turn away from evil and do good. He must seek peace. It's not going to just happen. And pursue it. Here we go. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayers. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word that you have given to us, and Lord, we confess to you that your instructions are not possible in our own strength. But we thank you that your word can transform our minds, and we pray that you would give us the meekness and humility to entrust our hearts and our minds to you, and to help us be the godly wives that you have made us to be in Christ. And we pray in his name. Amen.